Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and we're trying to get a couple of shows in here before the holidays. And one of the shows that we are doing is a special show with a new sponsor that we have. That's right, folks. I said sponsor of the Podnuts Pro show. We have App River that is going to be sponsoring a few of our shows. And with that, I'm going to do my first ad from them. Are you moving your business to Office 365? Working in the cloud can make your life a lot easier, but getting help, well, that's another story. And that's why you should call App River. They've got the most experienced support team in the business. You'll get free US-based support from folks who care about helping you and actually know how. If you're going with Office 365, go with App River. Try App River services free for 30 days. So go ahead and visit appriver.com/podnutspro. That's appriver.com/podnutspro. And with that, I would like to introduce our guest for today, who is actually from App River, and his name is Justin Gilbert. Justin, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Marvin. Thanks so much for inviting me onto your podcast.
Well, it's good to have you. So why don't we start with you just giving us a quick introduction of who you are and what you do at App River?
Sure. My name, as you said, is Justin Gilbert. I am the channel manager here at App River. I work with a channel sales team here to help our partner community. We have about 4,000 partners, help them to be able to learn how to sell and support and manage all of the different products that we have. I've been here for about 11 years now. So I was here when we started as a company, about 5 years into it. So here when we started the company's hosted exchange offering, and I've been here ever since. So I think I was employee number 30, and we have about 260 employees now. So it's been a pretty great ride.
All right. So I actually started using you guys, I forget, probably 5-6 years ago, when one of my customers went to hosted exchange. And I really didn't know much about App River. I just knew that you were one of the names that people mentioned when you needed to go to the cloud. But for a little history, let's go back. And can you tell us about App River in terms of how it got started and, you know, how it got into Office 365 and all those types of things?
Sure, sure. Yeah, so App River started off back in 2002. It was actually April 1st, 2002. So it was a nice little April Fool's Day sort of thing. So we started back in April of 2002. And I think, as you can still find on our website, it started off with two guys and a spam filter. It was Mike Murdoch and Joel Smith decided to put their own money. There was zero venture capital. They decided to put their own money into it. When they decided to do that, all they wanted to do, their only vision was to provide a very different sort of experience around a spam filtering product. They wanted to provide a very, very high touch support experience that really wasn't out there. And initially, it was really difficult. Nowadays, everyone's used to putting their mail in the cloud. But back then, getting someone to actually move off of an on-prem environment was next to unheard of. Nobody did it. Everybody had on-prem environments, and getting, you know, trusting someone enough to point their mail through you was a leap of faith for a lot of people. Right. So back in we built our business off of that. We had some really great early success. We moved then into hosted exchange back in 2004-ish. We developed a platform for hosted exchange before Microsoft even had a hosted exchange platform. We had basically customized an on-prem environment and put it into a data center. We were one of the, I think one of the first three companies to do that. So from there, we built up a very large hosted exchange business. We became one of the top five largest hosted exchange providers in the United States. And it enabled us, you know, we did some other things along the way, email security and web filtering. But that large exchange infrastructure and that different take that we had on a support model where we really truly meant white glove onboarding, which that, by the way, to your listeners, that's going to be a dead horse that I'm sure they'll hear that we'll beat to death on this program more than a few times, the white glove experience. So, you know, from there, it got Microsoft's attention. They loved seeing how our retention rate was so high with clients and with partners, and that we had such a high seat assignment rate because we really took the time to make sure our customers were using what they were paying for. And it enabled us to be one of the first 21 partners that Microsoft introduced into the Office 365 program back in 2011. And we got to stand on stage with Microsoft when they announced it. Our founder, Mike Murdoch, was on stage with Microsoft when they announced Office 365 as a new sort of thing that they were rolling out. And it was kind of on the back of Microsoft's, a lot of people don't remember, but it was on the back of Microsoft's previous platform, right? Which was, and it's, this is escaping my mind right now, but that previous platform was kind of a dud for them. It really, the partner, there's lots of rolling outages, lots of issues. And so a lot of people initially were like, oh, great, this is going to be just some, you know, some new thing they're rolling out, some new hosted environment that's going to not really be a long-term sort of thing. We saw it very differently. We saw it as being kind of the next big thing beyond hosted exchange. From there, we became one of the top five largest Office 365 providers in the U.S. We're now the longest running Office 365 provider next to Microsoft themselves. Out of those initial 21, none of them still do 365. So we have been running it longer than anyone else other than Microsoft. And we have, I think, the second largest Office 365 offering next to GoDaddy as far as a reseller of Office 365. And so it's been a really kind of a wild ride. And then just recently, a few months ago, and I don't know if you want to go into this or not, but we were able to kind of take on a majority investor to help us kind of go to the next stage with wrapping email security around Office 365. So that's kind of the history and a little bit of stuff coming up in the next few months to a year.
Okay. I did actually want to hit on that, but I wanted to kind of get the core out there, sure. What everybody knows, which, you know, most people know it as Office 365. I actually use you for some other services, and, you know, part of that full disclosure, I actually use AppRiver, and, you know, some of the other services that I use with you are the CipherPost, which is great for me to use for my customers that are concerned about security for HIPAA and things like that. So let's quickly go through some of these other products and just touch on them, because most of the people listening to this show are actually IT providers, you know, small managed services companies, that they're looking for the services that they can leverage, I guess, and resell to their customers. So let's quickly go through some of these other products here. I just mentioned the CipherPost. What else is out there?
We got, so CipherPost is our email encryption product. We have our SecureSurf SecureSurf web filtering product, which is a DNS-based web filter. We have our archiving service, which we partner with Global Relay for that because they're a fantastic archiving company. And then we also, you know, we offer the full, you know, it's funny when you say 365, it sounds super simplistic,
right?
But there's a crazy number of Office 365 SKUs, right? It's not just one thing.
And it's so we offer the full, but it's still a lot, but it's actually less than what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't, you know, we're not really in the whole, you know, we're working on this upcoming year at diving into Azure, because Azure is kind of new for, and the billing around it's really difficult to get right. And we want to make sure when we're trying to talk to partners to figure out what they want out of Azure, how they want to offer it before we really kind of start providing it. And then of course there's Dynamics through 365 as well, which is like 400 SKUs by itself when you get really in the deep in the weeds on it. So we'll be doing a lot more around Dynamics this upcoming year as well. CF, our own internal stuff though, we also have email continuity, which is a great little layer onto the spam filtering platform, which allows for you to kind of have a regardless if your mail server goes down, if it's Microsoft 365 or if it's your own in-house Exchange environment, this keeps up, you always have like another copy of mail that's always accessible. And then of course our hosted Exchange that's still rocking as much as Microsoft would like to kind of take over the world with Office 365, there's still a large number of clients who want a platform outside of Office 365. And so we have that available as well.
Well, I think for a lot of companies, for instance, a lot of my law firm customers, they simply feel more comfortable with hosted Exchange, and mainly because it's a little more mature, but because of the features that it offered that originally Office 365 did not offer, such as the archiving and stuff like that. So, in terms of that, I know that Office 365 is kind of taken over, but I mean, what is the real difference between Office 365 and hosted Exchange?
Yeah, so, the real answer to that is a little bit more complex than just comparing those two, because every single provider out there who offers hosted Exchange does it differently. And that's because if you're a hosted Exchange provider, you have a data center, or you partner with someone who has a data center, and you develop the backup methodology, of the actual servers from, how they back up either hourly, nightly, what the backup schema is. And then you also have, how is the data center itself protected, from issues? And then, of course, you have the layers of security around that. How is the spam filtering handled? So each host exchange provider really is very different from one another. With us personally, we have always kind of had since our bedrock really is built on security. We started off as a spam and virus filtering company, and that product is still kind of the backbone of everything we do. So we take everything that we do with our host exchange environment with that same sort of idea, which is we want to build in as much security as possible, while not impeding the customer's own uses of that product. So we have a ton of backups happen throughout the day of our own Exchange environment. And then on top of that, we keep a rolling nightly backup. So we have multiple backups of our servers. And then we also have everything protected with our SecureTide spam and virus filtering service. So that layered approach is kind of what we've always done. So that's really the real difference in how we approach it versus other exchange providers and versus Microsoft 365. Now, Microsoft 365 over the past, I'd say past couple years, it's become a more mature product. As they've gone along, they have really started to address a lot of the issues they had early on when it came to, meeting the needs of compliance customers. And then they've also been meeting kind of the needs of those customers who want better insight into the backups. Like they now have fantastic sites or TechNet articles where you can go and read lots of information about how they do those, what's the methodology they use to make people feel a little bit more comfortable. So we do have, we're trying to kind of skate that fine line, right, of being the company who can guide you either into host exchange or into 365. But we really do want to be kind of like that Sherpa, right? We don't care which path you take, as long as it's the right path for you. Like we're going to show you both options,
right,
and let you choose what you think is the best option for you. We don't want to be the, and I don't know if you know this, Marvin, I think we've talked about it a couple of times, but something that's interesting about AppRiver sales department is that we're a non-commission driven sales environment. So when you call us, even when our partners call us or on our direct side, we have a small direct line of business. When you call us, we don't have any sort of incentive to drive you one way or another. So all of our sales team is really consultative in that they just want to help you find the best for you. And, you know, our culture at App River is really driven by this whole idea of doing what's best for the customer and for the partner. And for the partner, that means, you know, making sure that our partners are, that our partners' customers are happy. And we do that by making sure our partner stays happy, obviously. We drive really long-term relationships. I know you've known us for quite a while, and I can attest to that for sure.
I can, and I can attest to the fact that it's not just the fact that you're not commission-driven, but you're not gonna hound me, you know, every week. And I like that. And I like my reps. I don't know if we can mention names on here, but, you know, I like, well, actually there's a team, but I usually talk to one or two of the people on my team, but they're great. And they're always available, always responsive. And if they don't have the answer, they'll find it or find me the right person with the answer. So I like that. So, all right. So let's go ahead and talk about, because most of the people listening to the show are going to be looking at App River as the partner, as somebody that they're going to have to get to either, you know, move their customer to and have you guys, you know, manage the customer for their Office 365 or their hosted exchange or whatever, or they want to resell the services. So In terms of that, you know, what are the types of relationships that you have with, you know, IT companies and techs that are going to be supporting and selling these programs?
You said what's the type of, sorry, did you say it again?
The type of programs, the channel programs, programs.
Yeah. Sorry. So we have a few different types. We have our agent program, which is really geared towards partners who, they don't really want to do much in the way of the ongoing support of the customer. Maybe you're an IT consultant who's focused mostly on the project side, right? And you don't want to have to actually, you know, dive into the ongoing support or commit yourself for support that you might not be able to handle. Maybe you have a large customer you're trying to win and you don't really want to have to offer them 24/7 support. So we have our agent program, which is ideally suited for that. And we pay a flat 10% annual commission on that. And then for your customers, we handle all the support for them and all the billing on top of that. So really the only thing we expect of those partners is that they bring us customers who are ready to get onboarded and ready to get started. And the partner can be as involved or as uninvolved as they'd like. If the partner, you know, and it's about 50-50, about half of our agents, they are heavily involved in their customers. The only reason they do it is because they just don't want to do support, or they don't want to do billing, or they don't want to do both. So that's a really big part of our business. And we love helping those partners to try to kind of make it a win for them. We have our other side of our partner program, which is our reseller program. And that's kind of broken out into three tiers. You know, we have our program is really broken out into silver, gold, and platinum. So as a silver partner, you start off selling our services at a rate that is commensurate with, you know, how much revenue you're bringing us. And then as you add more revenue, you're able to gradually increase your amount of margin that you get from us. And with that, the great thing is that we, you know, we're the kind of guys and gals here who want to make sure that we are looking out not just for our partners. We want to make sure that we're getting the right types of partners in our ecosystem. We're very protective of our partners and the types of partners we bring in. So one thing we also kind of say is that, well, if you want to be a gold partner or a platinum partner, it's not just about revenue for us. It's about, you know, how much have you learned in supporting your customers? Or are you using a lot of support? And are you, you know, I'm, for lack of a better term, are you kind of a jerk to everyone here? If you're an awesome guy to work with, awesome person, awesome girl to work with, whatever, then we are going to, you know, do everything we can in terms of marketing dollars, in terms of, I mean, you know, like we're supporting you and this, we're going to do everything we can to try to make you successful in your own business. And then on top of that, you get the gold and platinum programs.
Okay. And I will say that that has worked out really good for me because I actually am a mix where I've got you doing everything for a couple of my customers. And then for some of my customers, I take care of everything. And
yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that. So, you can definitely mix and match for sure.
Right. And that's actually what I love is that you don't have to commit to one program and be pigeonholed, I guess. It works out really nice because there are some customers that, you know, they want to be able to, and, you know, let's not forget that one of the things that really makes you stand out is your customer service. I mean, it's available 24/7 and, you know, from my perspective, it doesn't matter to you who calls, whether it's me or the customer, you're going to take care of the customer with the product.
Yeah, I like to think so. I like to think that we're pretty good about doing that. You know, our support team is, they're a fantastic group of guys and girls over there. They are some of the best people that you could ask for in a support organization. They really try to go. And we have this whole thing where it's called phenomenal care, right? And you know, back when we came up with it, it was this. And whenever I do presentations, I always have to kind of like chuckle because it sounds super chintzy and cheesy to say customer care. But you know, the thing is that when you say it and you actually truly mean it, and the way we show it is our leadership really tries to drive this whole behavior where they're saying, what could you have done more to make that customer's experience better? And a perfect example, and I won't go too deep on this, it was we had a Scott Paul, who does all of our work with Microsoft to try to liaise that whole relationship. He'd been asked to get up in front of a bunch of telecoms, AT&T, Verizon, a bunch of these guys, and was asked to just speak to how we have been so successful in Office 365. This was a couple years ago, and was asked to just discuss how we've been so successful with our retention rates and with a license assignment, which when he got up there and he just told them that, you know, the thing we do the most is that we talk to our customers. Like that was his only explanation. That's all he could describe is we just talk to them like real people. And we try to find out what their problem is. And then we actually really care about what that problem is. It's not just, you know, lip service. And after the event, he got tons of questions from these guys and he just kept repeating the same thing over and over. But it is one of those things where you kind of really have to experience it. You can't just say you have it, because nobody really believes it because everyone says they have the best service in the world nowadays. So it really is one of those things where you kind of have to just experience it.
That is true. But not only can you guys say it, you actually have, I believe, several awards that kind of back you up where you've actually won awards because of your customer support.
Yeah, no. And they, whenever we get one of those, it would sound a bit conceited to say that, you know, yeah, we expect that we should win those awards.
Yeah, we're good. We know it. Yeah, come on.
But, you know, we're always, it's one of those things where, in our sales team, we say, you know, be humble, when you're selling, because it's a refreshing take when you talk to someone who is humble versus a salesperson who thinks they know everything. And I think we as a company, we're a fairly humble company. If you can find any sort of interviews with Joel Smith, our one of our co-owners, he is one of the most humble people you could ever meet, and he's a fantastic person to listen to his interviews, because he's also one of the most intelligent people you'll ever meet, and so he could be completely conceited if he really wanted to, and rightfully so, but he's just such a just such a nice guy. And I think a lot of us try to, you know, we want to be like that. We want to be humble like him while also being very knowledgeable.
So here's my question. So talking about whether or not you could be conceited, you won all these awards, I think I read somewhere you're like 11 years in a row, you're one of the top 500 companies to work for or something like that. Now, I've been to your place. And it does not stand out as one of these big corporate places. I mean, you walk in, everybody's kind of like you. Everybody's kind of sounds a little bit happy, a little bit, hey, what can I do for you? Let me make your life happy. You know, I mean, that sounds ridiculous thinking that, you know, it's always like that, but is it always like that? Because that's all I saw when I was there. And it wasn't like, you know, I rolled in fanfare.
Yeah, it is. It is one of the, you know, I mean, we have a very, very good culture. It's, you know, when we, this is something I think I can discuss, when our, the majority investor we took on, when they interviewed a lot of our partners, one of the things that they said stood out again and again and again was how each one of our partners had pretty much the same thing to say. And it was actually some of our clients as well, which was the type of support they get isn't just like, it's not like support. It's that they actually know us. Like they, you know, we try to become involved with our partners' businesses, not because we want them to sell. I mean, yes, we want partners to sell more of our services, but we do that in a way where we want them to just be better business owners. We want them to be successful at what they do, and naturally, organically, they'll just do more with us. And so we kind of have this whole thing. It's always that way here. I mean, where people are kind of just involved, and we're involved with our partners and our customers, but we're also involved in our own lives with each other. We want to make sure each other are successful. We have lots of things we do with our employees to try to make sure that they're happy and that they're successful in their lives. So not it's the same sort of mentality, right? We want them to be successful in their lives, not just successful in working here, because naturally, if they're successful in life, they'll just be better here. Yeah. There's this one thing that it's kind of a joke I always have when I'm trying to explain to a partner how they can really kind of experience the difference, right? How they could really experience how we're different than everyone else. There's this this episode, and I'm a huge fan of The Office. Okay. And there's this episode of The Office where Jim and Dwight, two paper sales guys, they're trying to explain why somebody would pay more for their paper products versus someone else. And the only thing they're trying to get across is, look, it's the same paper product. Office 365, that's the same thing. You can get it anywhere. As you said at the beginning, it's really it's how you get it. And it's who you get it from. That's important. And so when they're trying to describe this, one of the sales guys is, you know, going over how their customer service is so much better. And he asks who he's with. And the other sales guy the whole time is saying, can I use your phone? And the whole time while they're talking, he's trying to dial the existing paper company this guy is doing business with. And he immediately gets put on hold, and he's going through systems, and he's pressing numbers 1, 4, 9, 8, trying to get through an automated system. And the other guy says, hey, call our number with my cell phone. And immediately someone picks up. And I always laughed at that because I thought it was such a funny way of selling. But then I thought about it. It took me a while to realize we actually do that ourselves. Our yes, owners.
You do. Yep.
Our owners, and I'm sure you met them, our owners have a team of receptionists who do nothing but answer phones. And the only reason they do it is because our owners never want someone to call in during normal business hours and to just be put into an automated system. They want them to always feel like that same thing you got when you walked in the building. They want every single one of our customers to feel that same thing every time. And so, yeah, so when you call in, and actually one of our girls who answers, she sounds so much like an automated system sometimes that she sounds so perfect at her like intonation and everything that you're like, oh, they tricked me. But yeah. Then she goes, and then all of a sudden she's waiting on you to answer, like, you know, how can she help you sort of thing.
That does happen because you call in and you're so used to, and it's funny because, you know, there'll be times where I'll call and I don't call that much. I mean, let's be real. I probably call once a month. It's not that yeah. much. But every time I call, the person that answers, and there's, I think, three that I've talked to on a regular basis. Oh, hey, Marvin, how are you? I'm like, get yeah. out of here. Come on. You don't know me. But they do.
Too true. Too true.
And, you know, I don't even, do I have an account number?
Oh, you do, but we just don't. Well, we don't use account numbers. So, I mean, we don't. It's one of those weird things that we've just never really done. I mean, we could do it, but man, that would be a weird change for us. We use it internally to say, to like tell, a you know, someone in support, hey, can you pull this account up? But like in the channel, we don't use it because we know, you know, we have 4,000 partners, but we, you know, all of the new ones and all of the ones who are either growing and all the ones who are kind of like the ones who are active with us, and the ones who are kind of like the ones who have like crazy stories. Those are all, I mean, we know them all, so we don't really have a sort of need for account numbers in when we're talking to our partners or our customers.
Well, don't change that policy. That's all I gotta say.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Let's take a quick break here and let me do the next mid-roll sponsor sheet here. And this is a read. So let me take a quick swig of water and get going here. If you're a business owner who wears many hats, which I do, it may seem like you need an IT degree to keep your business safe from cyber attacks with all the vulnerabilities that come from having email systems, networks, and devices that allow you to access anything from anywhere. So how do you have time to stay on top of everything, keep your data and your network secure, and still run your business? Well, you pass that hat to AppRiver, a leader in cloud-based security solutions for business. With AppRiver's premium email and virus protection, you can be sure that malware isn't going to be your next headache. Take it even further with web protection that keeps your network safe from both internal and external threats, as well as email encryption, continuity, and archiving solutions that can help you face anything with confidence. Throw in Office 365 for your productivity needs, and your business can be fully optimized with no additional software or hardware requirements. Everything comes with a free 30-day trial and AppRiver's phenomenal customer care service, available around the clock from real AppRiver employees who are great at answering your questions in minutes rather than days. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro to get started today. That's appriver.com/podnutspro. All right, Justin. And you know what's funny is I didn't actually plan it to be that way, to talk about the customer care and all that, because we're we're out of sequence in our outline.
This is the what is it, the best laid battle plans only, you know, they only survive like so long in an actual battle sort of thing.
So one of the things I was going to mention, you know, and have you talk about was the phenomenal care, because that really was a mission of yours, or I mean not yours personally, but AppRiver's, was to provide that phenomenal care. And I mean, the things that stick out to me are, it is truly 24/7, because I have called people, you know, Saturday afternoons, or tried to reach out to somebody Sunday because I'm doing a mail migration and I need an answer before Monday morning. And I've gotten responses by phone and by email. It's not like you've got 24/7 hours in terms of somebody's going to physically pick up that phone, you know, as if it's a regular business day, but you can get through to somebody when you need to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, the other thing is that even on our sales side, we all feel heavily invested in our partners. Lives, and they're you know, we know that our partners don't just run in the, you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever it is. We know that they don't just run their business at that time frame. So we actively work towards making sure that our reps, our sales reps, we carry our phones with us, we respond to things, we forward things to the appropriate departments even after hours. So while, you know, the sales side isn't 24/7, we even try to be a little bit more active, even though, once again, there's no incentive for a rep to do that. It's really purely just because we all kind of want to feel like owners of this business, and we all want to feel owners of helping our partners kind of be successful. I think that same sort of thing kind of drives over into our support team, where, you know, at night, in a lot of organizations, you end up with some of your newer people working at night. You end up, you know, which typically, you know, newer people in a lot of organizations. I know when I used to work in telecommunications, there was a lot of newer people they'd shove at night because they were the low on the totem pole in terms of seniority. And so then you ended up with poor support at night.
Right.
In our area here in Pensacola, it's weird. We have a lot of telecommunications companies here, and they do the same thing. But here at App River, none of our I think most of our senior people, most of our nighttime people, a lot of them are senior. Like they purposely want to work at night. So when you call at night, you would expect, okay, I'm going to get I'm going to get support that's commensurate with a person who just started at App River. And then the opposite is true. You end up getting very senior people talking at night who've been here. I know some of those guys at night have been here for 12 years and they're still, and that's the other thing. You know, when you have an organization, support organization, typically one of the bigger problems you have, and this is true with our sales team as well, is that especially in the technology industry, is the shorter amount of time that they're there, the less knowledge they have, and so you're always trying to figure out as a vendor, okay, how do I keep people here longer, so that way they have a much deeper knowledge base. In sales here, for instance, in our channel sales team, the average channel sales team for a vendor, the average time frame they've been at a company is 2.5 years. Ours is 7.5 years. So the average rep has been here for 7.5 years in the sales team. And in the support side, it's even longer. And so what that means is that you get a very, very, very technically adept team who's able to answer questions, because we know where all of the bodies are buried, right? Like, oh, yeah. We've been here forever.
I think every member of my team has been there 10 plus years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's just something you don't normally, get to experience it. And as a vendor, it's something where I know when I go to shows, most of the time when I go to shows, I'm talking to, we talk to our competitors, and, we have a pretty good and friendly relationship with our competitors. I see new reps at all of these companies, or I see them moving from company to company on a regular basis. It's kind of like what is that game? Where you're circling in chairs and trying to find a seat before. Yeah. So it's, we're always kind of seeing that, where they're always shifting from vendor to vendor, but that just means you get a poor support experience. But, the other thing that you get is you don't get any sort of relationship. You don't get someone who actually knows or remembers, when you started at the company and the issues you had early on. They can read notes, but that doesn't give you the same sort of comfort that they actually know about your business and what your business is facing and what it needs to thrive.
Right. And I'll go a little bit further than that, because two members of my team actually came down to a conference that was down near my area, about 20 minutes from me, down in Hollywood, Florida, and talked to me the same way while we were down here. Sometimes just hanging out with a boa constrictor around our necks as we would when we were on the phone talking about our customers. So, it's almost like you're, friends or buddies or pals, because you've kind of gone through the whole process together.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, when joint wins between a partner and a vendor kind of start feeling like they're wins for both of them, you kind of get this camaraderie, right, where you're both winning together on a regular basis. And there's something about that. We just had our Christmas party, and they wanted to record something from me about some of my job experience and what I love about App River. And one of the things I love about App River is that when I was in the Navy for quite a while, and I loved the camaraderie there between the people in the Navy. That was one of my favorite parts, is that you're kind of all in a mission together and you're all trying to go forward together. And that builds a bond that is extremely difficult to give up. And I'd kind of shifted from job to job before App River, and I didn't really find a job that kind of gave me that same sort of satisfaction of feeling like, you're actually all working towards a common goal. And I'd worked in sales jobs before where it kind of felt gross, where you're having to sell and you're having to, you know, kind of, you had to be dishonest, and that just feels horrible. When I came to AppRiver, it was a totally different and eye-opening experience, because not only do you feel that camaraderie with your fellow, you know, appers, your fellow AppRiver employees, but you feel it with your actual partners as well. Like when I see our partners at shows, I am excited because these are the same guys that we have been fighting battles with and winning battles with and kind of in the trenches with for years. And so I'm, you know, there's a camaraderie, not just with employees, but with partners as well. And that's a truly awesome experience as a vendor to be able to have that. So yeah, I mean, that one of my favorite parts about working here is totally that experience.
Well, I can also say that when I did my walkthrough, as if I was checking you out. So one of the things I noticed, both in the sales area and in the support area, well, first of all, they kind of looked the same. It wasn't like there was a distinction between, you know, the top salesperson and the bottom salesperson and the people sitting in the support queues. I mean, there were no big old, you know, whiteboards of sales goals with, you know, who had, you know, the most sales, and there wasn't that bell that you ring, ding, 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 new sale. I mean, it was just, everybody was just kind of there hanging out. It was actually kind of phenomenal thinking that, you know, well, you know, it just wasn't a typical, you know, mosh pit, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I have to give new hire presentations, you know, to help our new hires kind of understand what AppRiver is and why we're different. And what I typically do is I start off with how I came to AppRiver and how I was kind of nervous getting into it, you know, into the tech industry, because it was right after a lot of the .com stuff was happening. And, you know, I was giving up a nice stable job to, you know, jump into this tech company. And, but then I kind of go into, how sales, typically in a lot of organizations, sales is kind of like the prima donna, right? Where, you know, we deserve everything. We're right. Give us, you know, they're the guys making the money, and everyone expects that's the way they are. But here, what I usually tell them right up front is, look, we're non-commission driven. Walk by our offices. We have the same offices that you guys have, the same exact setup as you. There's no difference. You know, none of our sales guys drive flashy cars. There was a joke. We saw a really great partner out of Atlanta last week. And they made a joke because me and Scott Paul, our liaison between us and Microsoft, we stayed in a nice little cheap motel or hotel. And he says, you know, I always love when I see a vendor who's willing to stay in a cheap hotel, because it means you're not wasting the margins that we're giving you as a vendor. Yeah. And it's true. We're not flashy people. We're humble and we're conservative, and we want to make sure to earn our partners and our customers' trust every single day. And that means, you know, not being big showboats with what we have.
Now, how much of that is AppRiver, and how much of that is just the area of the country that you're located? Because, you know, when I was there, the reason I was actually visiting you guys was because I had a customer open up a branch office in Pensacola. So it was literally just over the bridge to Gulf Breeze. But it seemed as though that entire area, everyone had that same type of laid back, friendly, what can I do for you attitude.
Yeah, the South in general is a pretty opening, pretty open area as far as, you know, kind of being a giving type of place. Pensacola, where our headquarters are actually in Gulf Breeze, which is just one bridge away from Pensacola, but most of us live there. Pensacola has, over the past 4 to 5 years, has kind of undergone like a big transition. Now, I just read something on Food and Wine. So it's kind of exploded.
Oh,
in this whole,
you're in Food and Wine now.
I know. Well, you know, so I always, my wife is a chef. So, she lived in Seattle for years and did a lot of cooking and some really great restaurants up there. But for a long time, Pensacola really kind of had, you know, standard fare sort of stuff. And in the past 4 or 5 years, there's been some massive investments in revitalizing our whole city. And there's, you know, we have a baseball stadium that when you're sitting in the cheap seats, you can overlook the ocean while you're having a beer, watching a baseball game in an $18 seat. I mean, it's
nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. So, I mean, like, and before that would have been unheard of, you know, so there's just been massive investment. And so the people here, part of that thankfulness, right, is really the people here kind of being super thankful for everything that's happened the past 5-6 years in this area. I mean, the people here are beyond grateful for all the investors coming in and kind of turning this little small, you know, bedroom community into this amazing place to be. You know, we've all kind of known it's been amazing for years, and now people outside are starting to realize it, and we love that. I mean, we have fantastic restaurants everywhere now, which is great. You know, when Mike and Joel started up here, you know, our owners, they knew what it took, outside investors and these other outside companies, another, you know, something like 12 years to figure out. So they were kind of, just like when it comes to our type of support model and everything they do as owners, they're always ahead of the curve for sure. They're smart at figuring things out before most other people do.
Right. And they're really big, Mike and Joel, I should say, on reinvesting in the community.
Oh yeah. Huge. They got pretty heavy into, in fact, they were some of the guys who invested in kind of revitalization, here in Pensacola, yeah. But they started off, they have a shared workspace downtown that they wanted to help, entrepreneurs and people who are trying to start their own businesses, but they need workspace. They wanted to provide something for those people, and so they started a shared workspace downtown, I think with some others. But beyond that, they have a ton of giving they do within the community. They also really, really want us as employees to invest our time in those same sorts of endeavors. They give a healthy amount of time during the day for employees to participate in what's called our CARES committee, which is all about kind of giving back to the community and finding new ways to do that with Mike and Joel's money, which is, you know, that's fantastic. Like they're enabling employees to not only have, you know, fantastic work lives, but to feel good about giving back. And so there's a ton of stuff that they do for the community. Yeah, I know Robin, who you know very well, your channel rep. She does that on a regular basis. She joins the CARES. She's part of the CARES committee, and she actually, I think, right now is at a meeting for them, figuring out ways to kind of give back to the Pensacola area.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because, again, it's, you know, obviously we've not gone down the technical route and talked about enough of the products itself, but it's more of this side of the business that I think really reels people in, keeps people engaged, and makes it to where this is the type of company that you want to partner with, because you want to partner with these types of people. And like I said, you want to hang out, you know, and do these types of things.
Well, and you also want to, I mean, you know, the thing behind that is, let's say you, and this is something I've mentioned to a couple partners, let's say you are going to hire your next employee. Would you hire your next employee based on solely based on a resume without ever meeting them? You know, your next employee who, you know, and when you're a small business owner, hiring your next employee, it might be 1/5 of your employee base, which you're putting the hands of your business into this person, literally. And so would you do that based on just here's a fact sheet of some information about that? Or would you actually sit down and interview them? And would you want it to be someone who you'd want to actually, you know, spend time with, and someone you would actually want to know as a real person? You know, we take that same sort of thing personally ourselves here in the channel. When we hire someone new here, and actually it's not just in the channel, everyone at App River, when they're hired, not only do they interview with the manager of that department, but they also then have to do a separate interview with all of the peers of, that the manager chooses for them to sit down with. So you might sit down with a manager, but then you're going to sit down with 3 to 5 other people in that department. And the goal is to protect the culture first and foremost, but also to make sure that this is a person you would want to actually sit with every day. And we treat our partner community the same way, where you should want to be, in business with us, because that's what it is. It's just us in business together, two partners in trying to make both of our businesses grow. So you're right. I mean, the technical side, it's all, I can go really deep on that stuff if we need to, but you're right. It's the connection between individuals that enables us to kind of grow our businesses together that I think is one of the reasons why we've been so successful as a vendor.
Well, we're going to have plenty of time to go into the technical. In fact, we'll probably have a few more shows down the road, but, I just wanted to really spend a good bit of time doing this introduction and, going wherever the tide may take us. And, I think it took us down a very good path of showing this side of App River, the side that most people don't ever get to see in other companies. You don't get to hear, how great a place it is. And not because they're, you have a script telling you to say it's great, but because people actually feel that it's great. And again, something where I don't think I've ever talked to anybody at your place that it felt like they were reading out of a book, reading a script, or Googling something, to try to explain, whether it's a sales item or a technical item. It's, the people know their stuff.
Yeah, for sure. We have a problem with people trying to do too much. when a salesperson tries to, for years I was, I worked through multiple departments as a small startup. You have many hats. Everyone has a lot of hats, right? So when we were smaller, and I think I was employee 30, I did sales engineering, collections. I did like a bunch of little jobs of like whatever they would throw at me. And the longer you go as a company, you build your efficiencies by having one department do one thing, like, hey, your channel sales, you sell and help partners, grow their business. But some of the times we have reps who still try to do everything because they just don't want to let it go. They want to control, they want to own every part of a problem. So if it dives into technical, like heavily technical problems, I will hear sales reps out there still trying to dive into supporting every little aspect of a partner's needs. And I go, wait, hold on. Like, you can't do everything. You can't be everything.
There's departments for that. You can hand off and they'll be taken care of just as well as if you were continuing the process.
Yeah, but trying to fight, fighting that tide, it's hard. We built this entire culture, which it's really a special thing in my mind. We built a culture where people want to do more just for the sake of wanting to do more, which that's a beautiful thing. And yep. You don't want to upend it, right? So right. When I hear that, I kind of just shrug and I go, well, what are you going to do?
So not only is that a culture that you have built internally, it also is something that when you want to onboard somebody, I think one of the things that is probably great is that you actually have, it's not just a 7-day trial or a 14-day trial. There is a 30-day trial for absolutely every product in your portfolio. I think that that's good. And there's no cancellation policy.
Yeah. So, it's weird. When we started, there wasn't really a 30-day trial that anyone else was doing. So we figured, okay, well, let's try that. And then we moved quickly into, well, let's offer unlimited host exchange because no one was doing that. And the 30-day free trial, there's a lot of people outside of the 365 space who offer free trial. Like, you do Netflix, it's a free trial. Everything nowadays is a free trial. But we really use our free trial for one main thing, or for two main things, I should say. One is that we want to give a partner or a customer enough time to get onto the system and to actually use it and to And when it comes to migrations of office environments, you know, Exchange, things like that, those take a little while. And we want to make sure you're not paying for it before you're actively using it. But secondly, and this is probably a little bit less known, we don't really talk about it, but that 30 days, that's the dating period. We want to make sure that we're a right fit for you, but also equally important, we want to make sure that you're a right fit for us. Like, we want to make sure we're going to work well together. And that 30-day period is this kind of dance where we can kind of make sure that you're really getting what you want and that that you're happy with it. And, you know, we're like, as I said, we're protective of our culture, but we're protective of our culture also with making sure we take on the right types of partners and customers. So that enables us to do that there. It sounds, you know, it sounds kind of hokey, but we really do kind of go back to some very old school ways of thinking about making sure that, you know, relationships are being built. And that gives us time to do that.
Yeah. And I enjoyed that when I first onboarded with you guys. And like I said, there, you know, no sales pressure, but at the same time, making themselves available, you know, if I needed help, it was there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that was great. And taking the time to proactively ask me questions. And I don't even, you know, it's funny. I don't even remember that it was, you know, anything official. It was kind of like I called up and, hey, well, come on, you know, let's do this. And by the next thing you know it, I'm like, oh, I got a few customers with you guys already.
Yeah, we definitely, we have a very open door sort of policy when it comes to partnerships. You know, when we sign up, you know, we want partners to kind of investigate, our services, see if it's something they want. When a partner comes on with us, we don't have like a thing where we say, hey, do you have, 10,000 seats? Okay, cool. Then you can come on. We want them, you know, we understand that the types of partners that are the most underserved in the world are the types of partners that we love, which is the small businesses starting up. You know, Microsoft and most large vendors completely overlook those companies. And so consequently, those same partners struggle for years on trying to find vendor relationships that are solid and that will help their businesses grow. So early on, we realized that's the kind of company we're going to support. And it means that you have to do a lot more, right? Because you're having to really kind of talk to someone and understand their needs, and not try to shoehorn them into some model that, you know, some other type of partner that you might have talked to. Because everyone's business is super different from one another. So we try to take the time to really get to know them. I'm sure Robin asked you, you know, a bunch of questions, which really aren't questions for us to try to sell to you. They're just questions so we can understand, okay, well, these are some things we should probably cover with you. Or are these some things that you probably wouldn't be interested in? And when I say things, I mean types of training. We have a fantastic partner resource center where we are constantly updating it with training materials, and not just training materials on our own products. One of the things that I'm huge on is I don't want our training department constantly just beating the drum on, here's how to support product A and here's how to sell product B. We partner with companies like CompTIA, which I think, if I remember right, I think you've done some stuff with CompTIA.
Yes, I have. That's that was where the boa constrictor came in.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But yeah, so we love CompTIA and companies like that because they are platform agnostic, vendor agnostic, and they just want to make sure that IT professionals are growing their businesses. And so we love that. We love that idea of just kind of growing a partner's business. And so a lot of our training inside of our portal is all built around, we have marketing assistance and trying to help partners learn how to market better, sales training on learning how to sell better. So we definitely love those things. And we're huge proponents of building a better holistic partner program. And that's part of it. That you mentioned the cancellations. That's another thing, of course. We definitely don't believe in locking someone into a contract. Even the customers who pay us annually, we don't lock into a contract. They can leave at any time. We'll refund them the difference up to the month that they've left for the remainder of the period.
That was what I wanted to mention, the fact that a lot of companies won't refund, and yeah, you guys do. And it's a pretty generous refund, if I may say so. I've not taken advantage of it. But if a customer ever leaves, at least, you know, I've told them, look, when you're ready to go, you just go. Don't don't sweat it. We'll take care of everything and it'll be good. I also wanted to reiterate the fact that when you mentioned being able to, you know, take on and support small businesses, because again, a lot of the audience here, you know, we've got some good size, you know, managed service providers and some business to business clients, but a lot of the techs here are solo techs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they might be doing part residential work, you know, small businesses, 5-10 users and stuff like that. I don't remember if I thought it was a prerequisite before I joined you guys where you had to have a minimum number of you know, mailboxes to get started. But I remember talking to you, there's no minimum.
No, gosh, no. So, you know, the thing is, it's minimums are this arbitrary thing that's a roadblock for, you know, kind of finding those types of relationships that, for instance, one of our partners in the Northwest, they came on, they were a very small business. They had, Northeast. They had two clients when they started with us, and this was like 12 years ago. And they now are something like our fourth largest partner. And they've been kind of growing along with us. And the, you know, it's because we don't believe that, you know, if we had put some arbitrary minimum in there, we would have never found those guys. They would have never found us. They might not be the company they are today if we had some sort of arbitrary minimum that would really prevent us from learning about each other over time and kind of helping each other. Because really, that's all a good vendor partner relationship is two companies trying to build their businesses together. You know, we give up a little margin so that way you do sales and support, you know, for your customers, but then we support you. And the better we are, gosh, I hate this word too, synergy, the better our synergy is. I mean, there really isn't another word that kind of describes it, but the better we work together and the more opportunities we have to find those types of partners who are not being served out there, the better chance we kind of have together at growing our businesses and being successful together. So yeah, no minimums. I think the basic way we start up a partnership here is talk to someone here, find out that you want to start up a business or start up a partnership with us. Let us know what you're trying to do, sign a partner agreement, which is just an agreement, not a contract. We're big on having, you know, just agreements, which means you can leave at any time. But sign a partner agreement. And then we give you a walkthrough of the portal. That's it. I don't think we require blood anymore. I'm pretty sure no more firstborn. We got rid of that requirement. So we make it pretty easy nowadays.
All right, good. And I will say that your portal, I know that you guys made a couple of changes. I don't even remember how long ago, but maybe a year ago, where the portal is fantastic now. The stuff that we can do as a partner going into the portal, and, you know, one of the biggest things that I had was, you know, we always had to wait to get a mailbox provisioned or something like that. I mean, I can go in now and take care of stuff in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. So when we started off our company, we had just a few products not when we started, but we only had one then, but when we eventually got into before Office 365, we had a few products and the portal was fine for that. The problem is once you get into Office 365, initially, Microsoft's initial program called Syndication for Partners, that was a program where they didn't really allow any sort of API connection or API calls between their server environments. So we were forced to kind of not really be able to expose any sort of real workings of our portal in any sort of connection between our portal and 365. So we had to use kind of a middleware platform that Microsoft had funded, which was Parallels. The problem with that was that if you entered a decimal wrong in a place, you could literally shut down email. So it was very, very sensitive. So we didn't expose partners to it. We just did all the work ourselves manually and made it, you know, you email in if you want a license change. Yeah. When Microsoft came out with their CSP platform in, last year when they came out with it, we had to migrate all of our clients off of Syndication. 300,000 seats had to be migrated in 6 months from the old Syndication platform to the new one. And at the time we realized, well, this is a perfect opportunity for us to build a lot of functionality now because Microsoft exposed APIs. Now, consequently, they changed their APIs about a dozen times in between there. They went from like a Crest API to like multiple different types of naming conventions and different formatting conventions. But along the way, we were able to kind of work with Microsoft to build some really good integration between our existing portal and that platform. And you know, you're very generous in saying it's a fantastic portal, because it is a fantastic portal. But most of the stuff we did this past year was kind of just some basic things. This next year, though, is going to be fantastic, a fantastic year for our portal. We're offering, you know, right now the ability to kind of you can do some license management, things like that for 365.
Right.
And you can do your billing all in that portal. But in 2018, we're going to offer ConnectWise integration. In fact, that's going to be, I think, in January. We offer it to a few partners right now, but in 2018, especially in January, February, it's going to be offered to all of our partners who have ConnectWise. Mm-hmm. If you want to bill for Office 365 plus all of our other services and connect that through that, so you don't have to worry about handling usage and kind of updating usage, that's all going to be handled for you, nice and easy. The other big thing is we're going to have a massive overhaul on the UI. The last couple of years, we really focused on trying to build the usability of our portal out and trying to create a lot of really great uses for our partners. But in 2018, we're going to kind of revamp it so that way you get even more usability by, creating a responsive design. So that way, no matter what platform you're on, it works and looks identical. We're going to change kind of the structure of it so it a lot more user friendly than it is even today. So I know this last year we did a lot of work on it, but next year, this in 2018, it's going to be a huge year for that portal. So I'm pretty excited since I know some of the stuff that's coming out for it.
I would say so, because I mean, like I said, I looked at it, and the stuff that I can do now, I love it. And I, you know, outside of you integrating with another RMM product, I don't have anything to say. So when you start doing those other products, I'll even be more happier.
Yeah, no, we had to start. The reason we chose ConnectWise was because they were, we had sent out some interview or some surveys to our partners. And ConnectWise was just the bulk of the customers who used a PSA tool.
Right.
The bulk of them were ConnectWise. The next runner up was Autotask, of course. So our plan is to keep trying to build out integrations with PSAs. We're still trying to look at what we can do with an RMM platform, but we have some exciting things we're kind of working around those as well.
Okay. And just for the people listening, the partner portal as it is now, if you don't use any of those products, is great. You can, like he said, go in and manage your customers. You can manage the subscriptions for them. You can see all of the products. And if you've got, I don't have enough customers to actually need to filter, because I can see them all on one page, but you can filter by products. You can filter by customer type. You can add and remove and do all of the changes all from this portal, including the guest administration inside each of your customers. So,
yeah. And the exports for our billing are fantastic inside there now, because you can create a CSV export that's very customized. Maybe you have your own external customer account ID numbers that you use. You can pre-fill that on each one of your customers. And then when you export this customer ID number or your billing information every month, your account history export, when you export that, it'll have all of those assigned. Your customer ID numbers that you use in your own system, it'll have those assigned next to your customers. You can customize the charge names, so that way every month when you get your CSV export about your usage charges, it'll have your customized name for your charges, because maybe you don't call it a setup fee for spam filtering. Maybe you call it a professional services charge. So there's more you can do than just those two, but you can get pretty deep in the weeds on how you want to customize that. And then what's great is that platform, the reason that was actually the first integration we wanted to work on, that when you export it, can be dumped directly into a lot of smaller billing platforms, as well as directly into QuickBooks. And QuickBooks was by far the biggest, the largest number of our partners use QuickBooks. So we wanted to provide that first. That was our first real integration, was providing a great export. And so that was a huge one for us. And that has all of your 365 as well as Span filtering, everything all in one export. It's great.
Okay. So obviously I've not kept abreast of everything because I didn't even know about the exporting into QuickBooks, or else, you know, my office manager would have told me to do that. So I'm going to have to get back in the portal and figure that out. We just get our little email every month with our payment reminder and go off the PDF.
Yeah, the PDF, you know, and so we provide the PDF, but then of course you're doing, you know, you're paying someone basically to go line by line by line, and that account history export is fantastic. It is great. It's really great. If you use QuickBooks, customize it, get it all customized, and then every month you just download it, and then you're able to import it directly into QuickBooks.
Nice. And you, I'm assuming you have to do your assignment to the client and. Like you said,
yeah,
the naming convention for, you know, what you call a service.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to look at that. Note taken.
See, look at that. We're saving time and money already.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So we're kind of over the hour period. And I mean, it's not like we're going to be cut off the air or anything, but I had wanted to get into some of these, you know, kind of news item releases and stuff, but you mentioned the ConnectWise one. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a announcement that just came out about the CipherPost.
Yeah. And, so yeah, with the CipherPost one, so this is kind of interesting. So we it's an email encryption platform, right? And typically most customers who you would sell to as a partner, or we would sell to on our direct line of business. And when you sell to someone like that, you're only selling encryption if they absolutely have to have it as a requirement, because nobody wants to buy encryption and nobody's going to use it unless it's a legal requirement.
Right.
So we do have some customers, though, who use a couple of the other features that we already have on there, one of them being the large file attachment. I mean, you can attach like a 20 gig file on there. So some companies like, you know, they love that feature where they want to email very large files. The other feature is the real true read receipt and the ability to control a message. They want to be able to kind of control messages and to make sure that they're not forwarded on. They might want extra passwords for their own internal company security. So, some companies will buy it for those reasons, but we wanted to kind of keep expanding out the potential use cases for partners to be able to sell this. So that way you weren't just limited to only selling to certain verticals like government or healthcare or financial, which are heavily regulated.
Right.
And one of those was through the sign on the line sort of thing, where, you know, a salesperson might be sending out a contract and want, the recipient to sign on the line saying that they agree. So the problem, though, is that a lot of the solutions that are out there are fairly expensive. And they only do one thing, which is they provide a way to do digital signatures. And so we wanted to kind of provide that extra feature in here, which could be easily seen as, okay, well, cool, you added a feature of digital signatures. Great. But really, if you buy this service, you're getting digital signatures as well as large file attachment, as well as read receipt, a true read receipt, not the type that Outlook provides where it doesn't really work as well. A message recall, built-in for your eyes only additional password security, as well as email encryption. You're getting all of that. We didn't raise the price or anything. And so we wanted to keep trying to add, and we're going to keep doing that. This next year, we have some more things we want to work on around email encryption, where we keep adding additional features. So it's not just an email encryption service. It's actually a service that provides partners additional ways to sell into different verticals, into different types of customers.
And the customers that I use this for actually like it because it is basically an add-in feature for your Outlook if you use Outlook. So they don't really have to learn, you know, something new. It's really just an add-on where, you know, the ability to send secure mail is just another button on their tab and provides that functionality that you mentioned.
And you know, beyond that, the one thing I like about this tool, there's a couple things I really like about it, but one of those is that is platform agnostic. You can go to a customer who doesn't even have a domain, you know, who doesn't have any domain at all, or maybe they're using Yahoo or Gmail or something else. And in fact, they don't even have to use Outlook. We have a Chrome browser plugin for those customers who maybe only use Gmail or only use Yahoo. Or we also have a web app, or a phone app where if you have customers who do a large amount of their work from their phone or from like an iPad, they can handle all of their all of the sending and receiving right from there. And then beyond that, the great thing I love about this platform is that it's fantastic for dental offices. I know that sounds like a really hyper specific vertical.
No, because one of my medical offices, when we needed to do their HIPAA compliance. Mm-hmm. One of the big things, they use iPads throughout their thing. And it was one of these things where I could throw that app on their iPad so that they could, you know, use their iPad to do their mail. The doctors didn't have to run back to their office, hop on their computer and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the ability to sell this to customers, especially customers who don't, the reason I said dental offices is because dental offices from partners I've spoken with are kind of notorious for not having a domain name. Still using Yahoo, basically.
AOL, you mean? AOL, yeah.
and when you have that going on, you know, trying to talk to someone who trying to sell someone like that or a company like that on trying to move to, let's say, Office 365 or Host Exchange. That's a loss. Like, you're just not going to win that deal. But if you can slowly work them into moving to the cloud by adding compliance with email encryption and then kind of coming back later and maybe working on their email platform, it's a perfect toe in the door for dental offices and for offices that need compliance but see security as an expense versus an investment. And so that's why I love it for dental offices, because it doesn't require them to move to Host Exchange or anything else.
Well, I will concur with that. And when you had mentioned earlier, you know, not having a domain, I forgot one of my customers we actually did that with, that they didn't have a website. They had Bell South. That's how old, you know, the account was. It's a Bell South.net account. Which Bell South doesn't even exist. It got rolled up into all of that AT&T, Yahoo, whatever the, you know, they got like 100 domain names. But we specifically came to you because they needed email encryption and we couldn't do it with another product at the time. They probably can now, but I got them on the encryption and now they're on 365. It's only two people in that office. And again, the whole thing with, you know, I didn't have to have a minimum number of mailboxes. I didn't have to, you know, make them change a lot of stuff. It just was simply something we could switch them over to, add them in. And like I said, they're doing a 365 and the CipherPost.
Yeah. And the great thing is, you know, we do free 30-day trials on everything. And we don't just do free 30-day. Well, we provide partners the free 30-day trial, and you can do with what you want. But, you know, not only is it a free 30-day trial for that initial service, but every service you add for a customer gets an additional 30-day trial. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where you can pass that on, or maybe, you know, maybe charge the customer and run with the money for your time and effort and into working that deal.
Actually, you know what? It was great. I did it and didn't tell them.
That's what,
and
I mean,
it was
why
something
not?
Where I said, hey, I've got this up and running for you. Why don't you try it and see how it goes? And then it was like, oh, we love it. All right.
So. I've seen plenty of partners who they use the free 30-day trial as a sales tool. Our web filtering, and I don't mean to go off topic, but our web filtering, one of the, I'm a sales guy, by the way, most of my life is off topic. but with web filtering, one of the coolest ways that I've seen partners sell it is we have this feature on it where, it's a report, and it's a network threat assessment report. That's all it is. And you can set it to run, like, let's say every 7 days, every 14 days, every 30 days. And so I've seen what some partners are doing is they will set a customer up on web filtering, they will change their DNS, and they will only turn on malware filtering. They'll leave all the other filtering off. So that way, they're only filtering malware, but they don't want to affect the actual customer's mail flow if like Facebook or things like that. And then in 28 days, they will go back to the customer and they'll show them this is what has what hit your network or what would have hit your network malware wise over a 28 day period. And they have a nice little, it's a nice little printable PDF report that we provide that shows all of the nasties that would have hit their network, as well as like some top five sites that were visited, things like that. And then of course we have really detailed logs if you want to dive into them, but it's a nice lightweight filter that, and that sales tool, it's a 30 day trial. But really what the partner is doing, he's had the 30-day trial on the whole time. He's just saying, I'm going to give you a free network threat assessment. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to come back in 28 days. We're going to chat, and I'm going to show you what the system does for you. And if you don't want to keep it cool, we'll change your DNS settings. If you do, let's rock and roll. And at that one standalone thing has worked really, really well.
So we didn't, again, we didn't go the technical round. We probably should have. I'm going to ask a question now, because web protection, mm-hmm. DNS hosting, email threat intelligence. Now these aren't all new products like in the last, year or anything. Some of these you've had for a while, but they're all separate in a sense where you can do web protection or DNS hosting or email threat intelligence, but it sounds like this would be a great bundle to do these things.
Yeah, we've thought about doing bundles over time. And, there's still some discussions if we should do bundles, like a security layer sort of bundle. But the reason we've kind of shied away from the whole bundling idea is because we feel it really locks a partner and a customer into a sales mindset that they can't then break, that they feel like they can't then break out of. So when they want to, let's say 2 years from now, they want to get rid of, spam filtering or whatever it is. They kind of, if they're bundled into four or five products, they kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. They get rid of everything because they want to get rid of that one product. Right. Whereas if we have them all separated, we just feel like we want, and we're also the type of organization we are, which, this is the dead horse being beaten again. The type of organization we are, we don't want to oversell someone if they don't need something. So we're a big proponent on not pushing multiple things if it's not needed by someone. And that kind of bears out in our longevity of our retention rate. Like our customers stay on for a very long time with us because we're not trying to attach multiple services to them. Now, not to say that our partners don't do it, but our partners also have a connection with their customers that we can't have with those same customers. So we can't really understand what that customer's needs as well as a partner can.
All right. Well, we're going to have to spend some more time and go into, I guess, a deep dive of each of these sections, because web protection and DNS hosting and email threat intelligence, those alone, we could do an entire show on.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's see. Is there anything else that we haven't hit? Because I'm looking at our outline and we didn't go down the outline like we had planned. But is there anything that you really wanted to get across to the, techs and companies listening for this first of who knows how many podcasts that we're going to do with you?
Yeah. So, the biggest thing I would tell anyone, and this might sound surprising, I'm not going to say use AppRiver. What I'm going to say is, you should, whoever you get into bed with when it comes to a vendor of choice, you should do the same thing. And I'm just repeating what I said earlier. You should do the same thing, the same due diligence that you would do for yourself if you were hiring a new employee into a small business. If you have a 10-person or a 5-person company and you're hiring up an employee, you are giving them the keys to control your business. And you're doing the same thing when you partner with a vendor. So whether you choose us or whether you choose someone else, you should always call them up, talk to their salespeople, feel what that experience feels like. You can go to someone's website. Like our website is really great. It's snazzy. It looks fantastic. Lots of marketing speak on there. But the real way that you can kind of get to the nuts and bolts is to call in, talk to our receptionist, talk to our support people. And then most importantly, talk to other partners. Go look up online. We are huge about letting partners who want to try us out, go look online and see what other partners say about us. We will tell you the bad things about doing business with us, as well as the good things about doing business with us. And we want our partners to do the same. We don't hide or shy away from, when we might not work for you or when we'll be fantastic for you. And basically, if you really, really want someone in your corner all the time, we're going to be the best fit for you.
All right. And I can personally and professionally attest to everything he just said. App River is they are who they say they are. And I appreciate that. And Justin, I appreciate you coming on to the show and spending a little time with us. And I know, like I said, we didn't go too technical, but this was just that first dance, right?
Exactly. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, great. And show, folks, I will be putting into the show notes the link for you to go out and try App River. And you're going to find a smorgasbord of products there. Call them. Do a test run with them. Use the 30 days. Even if you don't do it for your customers, do it for yourself. Just get to know the products and use it. And it will probably be one of the best things you've done for your business. So on behalf of my guest, Justin Gilbert, the sponsor App River, I want to say thank you all for listening. And for all of the great shows that are provided to you by Podnuts, head over to podnuts.com, follow the shows, say hello to our sponsors and affiliates. If you want to keep up to date on things that are happening with this show, Podnuts Pro, follow us on Twitter with the at podnutspro.com. And again, folks, because we're doing a special show with App River here, head over to appriver.com/podnutspro. All right. Just hit the mic there. Sorry about that. So, Justin, again, thank you very much.
And, yeah, thank you.
Look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
And that's it for me, everybody, here on Podnuts Pro. And until next time, holla.
Hey, this is Martin Abando from Geeksters on the Podnuts Network. Thank you so much for listening to the show right now and supporting the Podnuts Network. We can't do it without you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, something that tickles your fancy you want to ask us about, you can reach out to us at geeksters@podnuts.com. You can always listen to us. We're going to be here all the time trying to figure out what's going on with the world of computers. Hey, don't forget to be grown out there. Thanks, guys.